Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's give God some hand praise in this place. Come on, put your hands together. Here we go. Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Come on, let's lift them higher. Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship is one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Let's take it up, take it up. Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship is one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah. Every praise,
every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship,
every word of worship is one accord.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory, hallelujah,
glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise. Come on, let's all worship him. Come on, say, Lord. Mine eyes,
mine eyes to the
knowing
my help
is coming.
From you. Your peace you give me.
Wish I had just three more people that would stand up and just worship the Lord with us this morning. Come on, say, Lord.
How many know he's worthy to be praised up in here? That's kind of weak. How many of y'all know he's worthy to be praised up in here?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Ryan. Brother Isaac, good to see you again. Brother Deacon Axeman. I forgot to mention last week that the Axeman was in the hospital for a while. And glad the Lord brought him out and brought him back to us. Amen. And thank you, EMC and Deacon Tambourine. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, my wife gonna be mad at you because she ain't here. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Everybody there? Boy, y'all look good. You there yet, Sister Lake? You there yet? Verse 1, and you he made alive when you were dead and slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. But God, amen, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened or resurrected him. For it is by grace, his favor, and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ. Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves or of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God's word for God's people. Take a moment to thank God for what you just read. Thank him for his grace. And for choosing to save you. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us eat together." Likewise, he took the cup and blessed the cup and said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. As often as we do this, we show his death, his burial, and his resurrection until he comes again." Let us drink together. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Y'all can do better than that. The Lord. If anyone is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. He heard my cry. And pitied every groan. Feel free to come down to the altar at this time, along as I live. While trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Our God and our Father.
It is such an honor to call you our Father. Out of all that you could have chosen, all that you could have created, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being loving. Thank you for being forgiving. Thank you for being caring and compassionate. Because we know you can be a God of war.
Yes, Lord.
But we thank you that on our behalf, you are a God of love.
Yeah.
So, Father, as we come to the altar, we acknowledge that you are high, you are holy, there is none like you. And we acknowledge that it is a privilege to be able to come to you in prayer. My brothers and my sisters who are here are each going through their own challenges, each going through their own wildernesses. But we know that you are a God who can guide us through the wilderness. We know you're a God who will make a way out of no way. We know that you are a God who knows how to keep us in a fiery furnace. And you're a God that can let us lay down in the lion's den. So we ask now that you will continue your perfect work in us, your perfect work for us, so that when everything is said and done, you will unveil us to the Father as a work perfectly constructed for the glory of God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
From Galilee,
who sacrificed
Don't you know?
Don't you know that he's such a wonderful friend? Through thick and through thin,
he'll understand.
He'll understand. Yes, I know a man.
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 Who walks?
Who walks by my side?
Both day and night.
Both day and night.
Jesus.
Jesus walks by my side.
Both day and night.
Both day and night.
Jesus,
Jesus walks by my side.
Both day and night.
Both day and night.
Yes.
Yes, I know a man.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Jesus walks by my side.
Yes, yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Both day and night.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. About 2 years ago, a little under 2 years ago, there was an incident that had taken place in my home that I was unaware of. And when it came to light, I was actually in the middle of a church service. Without going into details, what happened in my home harmed one of my children. And the police detective, they tried their best to point the finger at me. And you know, I remembered something my grandfather used to always tell me. He said, listen, if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. And I stood my ground because I knew I had nothing to do with anything. Well, it's been a long time coming. I was indicted. They even indicted me for these fictitious charges. And on this past week, the trial came. How many of y'all know God is merciful? And when he said, and he don't fall short of his word. He said, if you be still, I'm going to fight your battle.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
After the trial, the jury deliberated and they came back 2 hours. It only took 2 hours and they came back for the charges not guilty. And Deacon Graham, no, I called him, boy. He and I both were just shouting on the phone, giving God praise and honor and glory. On the normal, when we in our ministry, I try to do things that we could praise God together, all collectively. Initially, I wanted this praise to be personal. And with the song that was in my heart, but there's one little section in it that I knew I just would not have been able to make it past. All right. When it says that I should have lost my mind. Because trust and believe, there was a lot of sleepless nights that I've had to have throughout this whole time. So the Lord said, no, let's go on and keep it collectively. Keep the praise collectively. So y'all come on, just praise the Lord with me on this. Come on, because truly, he is worthy. Because look, I could have been looking at 21 years in prison.
Every mountain
you brought me over.
Hallelujah.
God is good, isn't he? Our Father and our God, we surrender ourselves to your word, your plan, your purpose, and ask that you will now teach us more how to be like our Christ. Let your Holy Spirit take the word that we read, implant it deeply into the soil of our souls, and let it bring forth fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, the second chapter. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ryan, Deacon Carl, Brother Isaac, and thank you, EMC. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful. Deuteronomy, the second chapter. We're going to go back and look at what God had asked them to do. I had mentioned a while ago that God sent them in on an extermination mission when he sent Israel into Canaan. He sent them in on an extermination mission. Before I read Deuteronomy 2, y'all go to Deuteronomy 4, and I'm going to read two verses to show you what I'm talking about. This is the land of the giants. I'm at Deuteronomy 4:37. And it's about us learning more about what's going on. Hopefully, this will help you in your life as you deal with your kinfolk. And as you deal with your giants. 37, Deuteronomy 4:37. And because he loved your fathers, pay attention, he chose their descendants after them and brought you out from Egypt with his own presence by his mighty power, driving out nations from before you, greater and mightier than yourselves, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance as it is to this day. Amen. 38, driving out nations from before you. Everybody see that? Let's go to Deuteronomy 2. So in this, I had no idea about any of this. I thought the Lord just brought them in and said, you know, well, this is what I promised to Abraham. I didn't know, I should have, but it was my shortcoming. I didn't know that God took them in there for a specific purpose. Verse number one. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me. And for many days we journeyed around Mount Seir. And the Lord spoke to me, this is Moses speaking, saying, you have roamed around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the Israelites. You are to pass through the territory of your kinsmen, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So watch yourselves carefully. Yeah. All right.
Let me stop and just mention this. For those of you who are in situations where you're wondering why you're being attacked, or you're wondering why you're being adversarialized, understand it's not so much that people don't like you as much as they are afraid of you. Understand, there is something about you. There is an anointing upon you that brings fear to those spirits around you. You do not need to fight them, because if they are afraid of you, you've already won. But I want you to keep that in mind. It's probably because nothing you did, you didn't do anything wrong. It is simply because people are afraid of you that try to intimidate you. And they try to bully you, because that is their way of attempting to get the upper hand. You walk away feeling inferior. You walk away feeling like, I should have done this. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You were just there to be. Be, just be. Just be. The Lord didn't say run, holy, he said be. And you must get used to the fact that there are going to be spirits that are intimidated by your very presence. You must get used to that. You must get used to that. Just your presence alone is enough to upset them. So I'm hoping for someone, it lets you know to stop trying to find what you did wrong. Now, if you cuss somebody out or threw a rock and hit him on the head, yeah, you did something wrong. But the thing is, you do not step down from heavenly places to fight carnal battles. Are y'all with me? This too shall pass. Just don't make a mistake until it does. That's where the wisdom comes in. All right. And some of these people are going to be your kinfolk. That is not anything unusual, because the Bible says a brother is born for adversity. They are the ones who know you a little bit better than other people, which means they know what buttons to push, which means they know things of that nature. So you have to understand, just because you related by blood doesn't mean you related by love. All right, let's go to verse number 5. Do not provoke or stir them up. For I will not give you of their land, no, not enough for the sole of your foot to tread on. For I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. Now, I wanted to say this while we're going through it, hopefully to learn some practical lessons of wisdom through this experience. Understand what the Lord told them, said, don't stir nothing up. Just because your enemy is present doesn't mean you need to go to battle. Y'all heard Bro Ryan? Don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. But don't stir things up, and don't you be intimidated to the point where you feel like you gotta attack first. Many times your enemies are there. because the Lord said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence. Are y'all here with me? In the presence. When God blesses you, there has to be an audience. Yeah, I didn't. When God does what he's going to do for you, there's got to be an audience. Somebody's got to see that God is on your side. Somebody has got to see that the Lord is for you. And so that's why the Lord will have your haters close by. Are y'all hearing me? Because he's showing you. No, I didn't tell you to fight them. I'm trying to show them something through you. So just because your enemy is a present doesn't mean you need to go to battle. Some stuff you just don't need to stir up. And you have to make sure it's not your own insecurities that you have mistaken for the voice of God. Let me say it again. You got to make sure it's not your own insecurities that you have mistaken for the voice of God. This is why when you're in those situations, you pray. You ask God to talk to you. You ask God to lead you. You listen. And that is why prayer is more listening than talking. All right, let's go. Next verse. You shall buy food from them for money, that you may eat, and you may shall also buy water from them for money, that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. That is an important lesson. Sometimes the Lord's lesson is simply just cooperate. Stop fighting everything. Stop trying to be rebellious. Everything don't require you to be Malcolm X. Have the wisdom to know when and when not to. Have the wisdom to know when and when not to. If you look back, you may have seen that there were some things that you brought on yourself because you eagerly jumped out there and did something God never told you to do. Now, God let you do it so he could teach you that you ain't got good sense. So the thing is, understand, just because you see something, don't be going around hollering about it's mine just because you want it. Amen. Amen. Don't be going, you know, when they say, oh, I see this and now I'm going to claim it. It's mine. If I brought up to it, God must want me to have it. No, God may want you to walk around it. God may want you to walk around it. You see, are y'all listening? He may just want you to walk around it. He may want you to look at it and keep moving. Everything you think is yours ain't yours, which is why you gotta ask God what is yours. So you won't be chasing after something you ain't never gonna get. Because it ain't for you. Y'all mighty quiet, y'all up in here. It's not for you. And just because you look at it and holler about, yeah, the Lord go, he told me to enlarge my territory. That ain't part of your territory. You don't even know the borders of your territory right now. That ain't part of your territory. That ain't going to be enlarged in your territory. You need to know the difference between need and greed. And understand, if you can't be content with $10, you ain't going to be content with $1 million. All right, let's go, y'all.
Verse number 8. So we passed on from our brethren, the sons of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, away from the Arabah, the wilderness, and from Eloth, and from Ezion-Geber. We turned and went by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not trouble or assault Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot for a possession. Stop. Did you notice that in all of these statements, God is saying what he gave? Are y'all listening to me? He's telling you what he gave. Why is that important? I want you to understand. If the Lord does engage in a battle on your behalf, winning the battle didn't give you the territory. Winning the battle was for God to prove who's in charge. The territory was already given to you. I hope y'all. Is anybody getting this in here? Territory was already yours. That's what he told Joshua in Joshua 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given it to you. So don't think when you go there and have to fight, you got to win it. You ain't got to win what I've already given. But if you have to go there and fight spiritually, then the thing is, when you fight, it's not for you to gain what I've given. You're fighting because I intend to whoop the spirits that are opposed to you. Y'all hear? That's why it's my battle. You keep getting amnesia and thinking it's yours. It's my battle. The battle is the Lord's. It's my battle. You keep forgetting that. I don't know why you keep forgetting that. The battle is mine. I'm fighting spirits, and I'm just using you to do it. Which is why I told you not to fight in the carnal, but to fight in the spiritual. Last night, I was so embarrassed. Our family went to see One Love, Bob Marley movie. And the movie was, all about unity, one love. Good movie. The actor was pretty good. After the movie, two sisters were coming down the row. Now, the movie is about one love. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? One got to the bottom and was hollering back at the one up on the top, calling each other bees, asking each other what you want to do. And so when Jaden stood up, Lizette said, sit down. No, she wasn't standing up to get in it. She was standing up to leave, but Lizette said, sit down, because if anybody pulls out a gun, you don't want to be in the way. Two sisters doing this, loud. And so after they left, then the couples in front of us, who looked like they were about our age, and say, well, what was that all about? I said, well, one of them was talking through the whole movie. Said, yeah, she was talking through the whole movie. And I said, so I guess they had a rift about that or something like that. Well, what else was going on? I was like, look, my name Bennett. So the thing that I'm looking at is this. I said to Zet, we were walking to the car with the girls, and I said, now why folk want to act a fool at a movie where everybody just enjoying
the movie. And I remember Lizette said, the devil opposed the message. The devil opposed the message. And so he did something to spoil it. Spiritual warfare. And that's what you will be engaged against. Okay, let's go. I'm in here in a minute. Verse number 9, I'm not going to get as far as I wanted to today, but verse number 8. So we passed on from our brethren, the sons of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, away from the Arabah, the wilderness, and from Eloth, and from Ezion-Geber. We turned and went by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not trouble or assault Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot for a possession. 10, the Emim, those are giants, dwelt there in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. These also are known as Rephaim, of giant stature, as are the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horites also formerly lived in Seir, but the sons of Esau dispossessed them. The Horites are another race of giants, and destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did, to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Everybody see where I am? All right. That's why Tuesday night class, I asked Deacon Gill, and she was so kind to send you the pictures of what the Nephilim looked like. Because we've been talking about them in the Tuesday night class. Now, let me give you an example of what the Nephilim looked like. The Nephilim are the Rephaim. These particular beings were exceedingly huge, to the point where Shaquille O'Neal would come up to their knee. Did y'all hear me? Yes. Shaq would come up to their knee. They were huge. That's one of the reasons why they have found out now, when they talk about the pyramids and they talk about all of these particular buildings that have been built with these huge stones, and they can't figure out how did they bring the stones from the quarry over here, and they're trying to say, well, they use logs and stuff like that. You use logs, you still be building that thing. The thing is, they have now begun to find out that this was pre-flood, which was the time of the giants. That's how the stones got there. Y'all remember the Jolly Green Giant?
Yeah.
Something like him. Y'all remember how he used to look in the commercials? Trees all down here by his ankles and whatnot, and he's standing up. Something like him. Those are what we're saying, people of giant stature. These were the folk in Jericho. All right. These were the folk throughout Canaan. This was why the man came back and said, we look like grasshoppers. Are y'all here? Anybody listening to me? We look like grasshoppers. And God said, no, I'm using you because you're going to have to get rid of them. And they was like, no, Lord, you done made a mistake. Some wrong somewhere. And the key was simple. God said, no, I'm going to use you. You are smaller than they are. You are not as intelligent as they are. You are not as smart as they are. You're certainly not as strong and as mighty as they are. And I'm going to use you to drive them out. Because when I do, individuals will know of a surety God had to do this for them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
God had to do this for them. So be not dismayed and don't be upset when you have giants that appear insurmountable. And it appears, and the giant can be your situation. The giant can be your health. The giant can be anything in your life that seems to be impassable.
Yeah.
It was there for a reason. You were put there, and you are exactly where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
You are there so that you cannot win the battle without God's help. He is teaching you how to trust in him more than you trust in yourself. You didn't make a wrong turn nowhere. When you look and say, Lord, how did I wind up here? You just read that you're taking paths that have already been prepared. There's no way you could be anywhere else. You are where you're supposed to be. So stop looking back in the past and saying, well, maybe I should have done that. If you had done that, it wouldn't have made no difference. You are right where you are supposed to be when you are supposed to be there, around who you have been ordained to be around at this point in your life. Stop questioning what you did wrong because you ain't big enough to create your own path. Accept that it is what it is. And if this is what it is, what I need to learn how to do is not stir nothing up. Can I say one more thing about stirring up? One more thing about stirring up. Sometimes you have to learn the wisdom not to pay attention to the distractions that are around you. And you have to learn how to recognize what a distraction is. God has to teach you. No, leave that alone. Leave that alone. Because there are two things you need to weigh when you're thinking about dealing with something, or you're thinking about going at something, or you're thinking about dealing with something, or you're thinking about attacking something, or you're thinking about battling something. Two things I want to ask you to think about. Is this about your progress or your pride?
Come on.
Is this battle going to help you get any farther? Or are you doing it because your ego's been bruised? Is it progress or is it pride? Because if it's pride, pride leads to destruction. And a haughty spirit goes before a fall. That's why you don't lean to your own understanding. And you wait and you ask and understand that I don't have to rush to do anything. I ain't got to fight everybody. Just because somebody is talking about you doesn't mean you need to pay them any attention. Is anybody listening to me? That doesn't mean you need to pay them any attention. Once they got your attention, they won. That's all they wanted. Now you're distracted again. When you hear that people are talking about you, you should be flattered to know that it's great to know that I am so important that when I'm not thinking about them, they are thinking about me. I'm glad I occupy such space in their minds. Oh, how great I am. understand, pay attention to not stir things up needlessly. Understand when it's your pride and not about your progress. And understand that when it comes to those things, just because an enemy is present doesn't mean they need to be fought. Well, that's all for today. Come on, Bro Ryan. Bow your heads. God, our Father, we thank you for continuing to teach us who we are in you, why you tell us to rest in you, why you tell us not to worry about anything. And we ask you to please continue to bring us into that rest, the rest of the Lord. Give us wisdom. And I ask most importantly, the wisdom to know to seek you every day for direction and for guidance. And for God to calm our nerves when you're telling us to be still. There might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary. I just read in the book of Ephesians how this grace you've given me is free. And now I'm asking that you would please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can have that peace that passes all understanding. If there's someone here who wants to join this fellowship, there are cards in the back of the pews. Feel free to take one, fill it out, and on your way out of the vestibule, just put it in the box in the vestibule, and there will be members from this congregation who will get in touch with you and who will welcome you into this body of believers where we have the honor of loving you with the love of Jesus Christ. Now to the King, immortal, eternal, and invisible, to him be all glory, all majesty, all wisdom, all power, all dominion, not only now, but through the ages of the ages, the eternities of the eternities, where we will praise your name forever. It is in Jesus' mighty name that we give thanks, that we give honor and reverence, that we experience the fear of the Lord, and that we pray. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore
you. I just want
to tell you,
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore you.
Just want to tell you
that I love you,
Lord, I love you.
and adore you. Just wanna tell you, Lord, I love you.